What I'm going to minister today is not just revelation, it's part of my life's journey. The journey we've been on, the culmination of that journey. So we're going to move back into Jacob and take another pass. It's amazing. You can take 100 passes into something, and then God has another level. And his life is so remarkable. I'm looking at it in a way I've never seen it before. As you know, Jacob, Abraham, is Isaac, he was part of the covenant family. But God had to do something with him that he didn't do with Abraham or Isaac. He brought a nation out of Abraham, but he didn't bring it out of all of Abraham's children. He just brought it out of Isaac. When he sent it into Jacob, God had a plan for him that was exceedingly abundantly beyond what Jacob could comprehend, because he was going to bring a whole nation out of him. He was going to bring a land out of him that today is named after, not Jacob, but Israel. He was going to bring a people out of him and multiply them. The multiplication that God promised Abraham, the nations that came out were going to come out of Jacob. But God had to prepare him. And as you understand Jacob, he was a deceiver. I mean, a swindler, a supplanter. Anything that went wrong, he did it. If there was mischief, he was involved with it. He swindled Esau right out of his birthright when he caught him when he was hungry. And Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of stew for flesh. That's why God rejected Esau, because of that. And then him and his mom got together. At the end of the life, Isaac, back then, when the blessing of the father came down, whatever they said happened. I mean, it was just the way it was. And his mom knew it. So they put, Esau was a very hairy man, so they went out and killed an animal. And they put the hairy animal on his skin, and they came in, and he posed himself as Esau to get that blessing. Isaac said, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. But he swindled Esau right out of the, not only his birthright, but then the blessing from the father, the generational blessing. This is the man God was going to call a nation after. This is the man God was going to multiply. He's going to multiply him. So Esau ended up, as you know, fleeing from his brother. And the first place he went was a place called Luz, L-U-Z. And this is where he dreamed of a ladder that was stretched from heaven to earth. When the angels of God, it's actually a picture of the true house of God. We think of the house of God as not a building. I mean, Moses turned it into a tabernacle. Solomon turned it into a temple. The true house of God was what you saw here, where in Genesis 28, where the glory would stretch from heaven to earth, there was a ladder that came down, and the angels of the Lord ascended, descended in that ladder, and Jacob himself was caught up, and God spoke to Jacob. But the most interesting thing, he never mentioned Jacob's name in this blessing when he spoke to him. That is huge. You can write that down. There's a reason why when he spoke the blessing over his generation, he did not call Jacob by name that day. Because Jacob was going to have to go on to a journey. And God spoke out of the face of God in past tense. Kings have come out of your loins. Nations have come out from thee. He speaks to Jacob in this manifest person. Jacob comes out of this dream and he feels the manifest glory of God. That's different than what we have in our churches. But the manifested glory, how he said, he used the word, if I remember, how dreadful is this place, or how awesome, because the true manifest presence of God doesn't leave very many people standing. Most everyone bites the dust. We don't see that very often, but that's the God that appeared to him. He opened the heaven for him that day. The angels ascended and descended, the ladder was stretched down, and even Jacob said, this is the gate. And he called the place Bethel, which is means house of God. He renamed, he reassigned that place. It was reassigned under covenant right to God, that open heaven. And it was important because God was going to bring him back after he took him on a journey. When God speaks to you in the days of your youth, many times you think he's talking to you, but he's really not talking to you. He's talking to someone else in you. He was not talking to Jacob that day. He was talking to somebody else. That's why he did not mention Jacob's name. Because he was going to turn Jacob into another man. Just like he did Solomon. Just like he does all of us. Christ, in his truest form, is going to transform us into another person. That level of transformation has to take place for God to do his will. God was open to heaven that day, and Jacob took a stone, and he poured oil upon that stone. He said, if you be with me, he was in great fear. That was another thing about Jacob. He was a man of great fear. He fled from his brother. He was an intense man of fear, swindler, deceiver, supplanter. I mean, anything you could think of, that's who he was. I mean, we could relate to the old man. But God had a plan. So he opened heaven. Jacob poured oil upon that rock. He anointed that stone. He said, this is the house of God. Do you know the heavens stayed open for 21 more years? Because God reassigned. God is going to reassign your life. He's actually positionally already done it. Our covenant's a little different. It's built on better promises. Because Christ already won every single battle. He stands as our perfection. And all we have to do is reassign to him. It sounds a lot easier than it really is. But God's going to take a journey like we all take a journey when God speaks. I remember when God would speak to me in the early days. He was really speaking to somebody else than me. But you interpret it from where you are. You interpret on who you are. When he speaks to Joseph, he gives him a dream. The sun and the moon, you know, and the 12 stars, they'll all bow down. Jacob's a little kid, you know. I mean, Joseph's 18 years old. He goes, yeah, I'm the man. He goes out and tells all his brothers like they're going to be happy for him. They end up throwing him into a pit. But God was speaking to Joseph, but he was speaking to another man in Joseph. One that God would transform over time. And so Jacob begins his journey and he leaves that place of Bethlehem. He said, God, if you be with me, this is amazing. He says, when I return to this place, I will tithe all that you give me. And God exceedingly multiplied him and he came back. But the journey is what I want to talk about today. Because every one of us has been in this journey. And so he leaves, he goes to Laban, and you know the story, he begins to work for Laban, and he sets his eyes on, I think it's Rachel, was it Rachel? Yeah. But Leah, so watch this. He has to eat the fruit of what he sowed. He was a swindler. He was a deceiver, a supplanter, so God reassigns him to work for somebody just like himself. For 21 years! So that Laban, say Laban! I had a Laban, I worked for him, changed his wage 10 times, say 10 times. Even he says, Laban, they made a deal, says, you work for me 7 years, you can have my daughter Rachel, because Rachel was like, whew. So the night of, Laban comes and switches. And he puts Leah in there instead, he wakes up to Leah and go, oh! So I think he works another 7, he works another 7, and he did another thing, and in 21 years in all, he was there. But he finally marries Leah and Rachel. He finally marries Rachel after Leah. And the two of them start a war with each other, how many kids they can have. And that's where you get all of the sons of Jacob or Israel, all the ones named after when Moses came out, all the tribes, they came out of Jacob. All those tribes, those 12 came out of Leah and Rachel. They had a woman. It's like who could give the most... You know. So he works for Laban all that time. Then God, I mean, some remarkable things happen while he's working for Laban. It's supernatural. I want to kind of stay focused on what God was really after. So it was time to leave, and God, he tells them, he says, return to your house now. Return, he said, return to Bethel. He says, time for you. He started, that was only phase one of his preparation. Sometime we have to eat or what we sow. Amen? Or reap. So you got to reap sometime. So he can relate after 21 years. There was already a transformation there, but his greatest transformation was coming. And the biggest one, when he came back in, every time he'd go somewhere, he'd name the place after he was there. Mahanaim, he said, two camps, right after he left Jacob. And now he knows Esau's coming out, and he's deathly afraid of Esau because he thinks Esau's coming out to kill him. And I mean, fear is overriding him. I mean, he is trembling in fear. This is the patriarch, by the way, of a nation that God did some remarkable things. So he goes into this place and he starts wrestling with God. Now this is Genesis 32. I want you to go over there. He starts his wrestle with God. When he starts wrestling, something remarkable happens. I'm going to get into this pretty deep. He's wrestling with angel, but he actually is wrestling with God because he said, I've seen God face to face. Really interesting dynamic there because they're wrestling to the break of dawn and God says, let me go. With the angel, but it was an incarnate Christ he was wrestling with. And he said something to him. Was there a wrestling? We'll just get into this. Verse 24, and Jacob was left alone and they wrestled, Genesis 32, 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him into the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. Sometimes, when the old man is wrestling with God, how many of you ever wrestled with God? I mean, how many of you ever have an old man that wrestles? You're not going to win that battle. It's good that you're holding on to God. He's going to win, and ultimately, you'll come out with a limp. And Jacob, every man of God that walks with God is going to walk with some kind of limp. May not be a natural limp, but in the spirit, something's going to get broken. The old man has to be broken. God is not going to multiply the old man. There's a reason why he never mentioned Jacob's name in Genesis 28 down to the open heaven when he said, I'm going to multiply thee and kings are going to come. Because they weren't coming out of Jacob. They're going to come out of somebody else. Because God along the way was going to turn him into another man. And every one of us are in a journey right now. And we're asking God to fulfill your promise. There's nobody's head on the promises along with this house. I mean, we are a promise house. We're holding, praying constantly. But God has something that he intends to do. But he's only going to do it when he finds Christ in you. Because he's not going to multiply your old man. No matter how much you want him to. There are some people that have moved out in the body of Christ. Old and new. And they got multiplied way too soon. And the old man got spotted out into the open for the world to see. It's not a pretty sight when the old man gets splattered out into the open. Everyone has issues. When God looks at you, he's not intimidated by your issues. He has an intention to change you in this journey. But if he doesn't get to change you, he can't bring you back to the place to do what he really wants to do with you. He wants to bring you into the open heaven. He wants to reassign your entire life to Christ. And he wants to multiply you as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. This right here, this place that Jacob eventually called Peniel, face of God. I've seen God face to face. This place was a defining moment for history, for the nation of Israel, for us. Everything came out of this chapter right here. You came out of it because Christ came out of this chapter. Because if Jacob not prevailed, it had to have been another generation. He had to find somebody to make this transformation. So he's in the middle of this wrestling. God said, let me go. How could you think about that? God's asking you, let me go. It's because you got to hold on him. There's only one thing that causes that kind of grip is faith. When you lay hold of God, you don't let go. I'm not letting go. I may not be who you want me to be, but I won't let go till you bless me. Say, I won't let go till you bless me. God has to have that in people. Way too many people let go way too soon. You got to hold it. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through, the fire, the waters. It doesn't matter. Public reproach. It doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not you hold or let go. Because I will not let go until you bless me. So God said something very interesting to him. Look at verse 26. He said, I won't. He says, let me go. The day breaks. And he said, I will not let go. You should write that down. I will not let go except thou bless me. Say, except thou bless me. So notice what God said. He didn't come to him and say, oh, I love you. I'm going to bless you. Come here. Come up in my arms. Let me bless you. He didn't say that. He goes, what is your name? Like God didn't know his name. What is your name? Who are you asking me to bless? He said, my name is Jacob. He held long enough. The blessing was the name change. God said, I can't bless this guy. I can relate to that. I really, 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 really tried to get God to bless the Jacob in me. I fasted. I prayed. Whined. Cried. Threw a fit. Complained. Murmured, prayed all day. I was just excited. I was like, Lord, look at what I'm doing. I'm praying, surely. I used to clock my hours in the early days. I'd clock my hours. Look, Lord, I put in 40 hours of prayer this week. Look at this day. I put 11 hours. I'd clock my hours. Look at what I'm doing for you. How many of you have ever done that? Look at what we've been through, Lord. I mean, you call us the pastor. I think everybody in the earth should pastor. You'd really get appreciation. All the great men, they all had to get around the sheep. You know, it's the way it is. Praise God. You know, people who love you, sold out, tell you, you know, I'm with you for life. The ones that say that, the ones you got to watch out for. When they come in and say, I'm here for life, those are the ones, don't say that. Those are the ones who are usually out the door, the sign the first time the enemy shows up. If you're going to walk with God in this dimension, there's going to be fire. There's going to be situations. There's going to be transformation. You're going to have to make it through. Nobody wants to do that. Why? Because I can just go down the street to another church. You know, I'm just here for Sunday morning. You know. But if you sign up for what God's doing, you're signing up for the transformation too. And so if you're signing up for the revelation, woo, that's awesome revelation. Well, you're signing up for that mountain. You better know. It's coming. Because God said, you got to die daily if you're going to walk with me. Take up your cross. I don't want to do that. I want the gospel says I live. Well, you're going to live too. Just wait till God gets done with you. You're a nice baked loaf of bread. God's not going to pull you out too soon. He's not going to bring you out charbroiled. But if you're baking, praise God, you got to let him continue. But he has a plan. The way to get through that is to embrace his word, never let go, continue with him to the very end. Say, don't let go. I will not let go! That means you're holding on to something. If you're not holding on to something of the kingdom of God, you're going to get tossed here, you're going to get tossed there. You have to anchor into God! There's no such thing as life without storms. Even Jesus said the storms will come. Are you in the sand or are you in the rock? So God says to Jacob, what's your name? I'm not going to go, do you bless me? Well, what's your name? Jacob. Swindler. Deceiver. Supplanter. Liar. Man of fear. Oh, is this the man you want me to bless? God, when I'm in the right hand of God, He doesn't let me identify with Atkinson anymore. There's not a lot that, besides that name, that family that name came from. It's not a pretty picture. My natural father, on his deathbed, eaten up with cancer, 4 days to live. I'm in there. Anna's in there. We're talking to him about the Lord because he never would listen to me all my life. And I said, what if you're wrong? And he just turned his head like that. And he went off into eternity. He did not want a normal funeral. He wanted a Masonic Indian ritual funeral. His dad just like it. That's the family. That level of dysfunction came down. But it broke. But not without a battle. Not without losing a few. Winning a few. It was a very hard struggle. It makes you appreciate when you're born into a godly family and you have godly parents and they raise you up in a godly, in love. Because my mom, you know, my mom was never there. She worked all the time. She ended up finding the Lord. But you didn't raise, when you're not raised with a mother's love, like Anna, she's full of love, you know. But when you're raised with a father that's mean, you know, you didn't even know. You don't know whether when he comes through the door, that day at 3:30, whether he's going to be happy or not. You're eating a snack. That can be a bad thing. I remember I was eating a piece of toast and he came through the door and I swallowed and choked on it whole. Because that could set him off. That could be wrong. When you're taking a shower and you're past the 2 minute mark, and suddenly, the next thing you know, you're thrown up against the wall. I mean, those kinds of things affect you when you go through things like that. Because you don't know from one day to the next what's right, what's wrong. What can I do? What did I do wrong? You see what I'm saying? So you grow up like that and then you get introduced to God, but all that stuff is buried up in there. The Jacob's there. The dysfunction's there. And God comes and reveals this glorious plan for your life. I'm like, yeah, I sign up for that. Praise God. Get me out of this. I'm in. But he doesn't tell you you're going to go through a journey like this. Until your moment comes, the Penuel day, where God says, what's your name? Who do you want me to bless? This man Atkinson, or do you want me to bless this man Obison? Abbasson or Atkinson, which one? Because if you want me to bless Atkinson, all that stuff's going to multiply too. All that's going to come out as well. You'll have two rivers running out of you. One of the flesh, one of the spirit. So God contained you while you walk with him. But everyone's going to come to this moment of identity transformation. He's going to shatter the old man. He's going to break him to pieces. And the way he did it, he said, thy name is no more Jacob. He speaks it that day. God creates a name never spoken of before. God creates a name. He says, your name is Israel. For a prince. And he speaks him out of the face of God. You have reigned with me. That day was a massive transformation. Jacob comes out of this encounter and he calls the place Penuel. I've seen God face to face. Now you're talking about being one person all your life, and all of a sudden the mass identity shift because God speaks it from around his face. That's done. He didn't say, "Thou shall be." He said, "Thy name is no more Jacob. Thy name is Israel." And he speaks past tense. Otherwise, he took Jacob out a little ways that day. He walked him a little past where he was. He says, "As a prince, you've reigned with me. You've overcome." That's what Israel means. An overcomer. A prince that overcomes, that reigns. Because God created the word. God has a creation. It's amazing. Carlos, he's amazing. In Church of Philadelphia. Do you know what he promised them? He said, "To him who overcome, I'll write a new name on you. To him who overcomes, I'm going to give you a new name. A new name. And I'm going to write the city of my God on you. Because I'm going to bring something out of you." Whew. Jacob, man, he's processing. Because now he's got to go meet. He's still in fear. He's coming out of that. He's still trying to grasp his new identity. He's got to go meet Esau now. And that's why he was there the whole time with Esau. Because he was so afraid his brother was going to kill him. That's why he wouldn't let go. There's different reasons that motivate you for the blessing of why you won't let go. It doesn't matter what's motivation you. Just don't let go. Trust that God is going to make the change. If you will hold on to him, he will make the change. He'll make the transformation. When people think it's over, and they're shaking their heads like it's over. And you go down from where you were, down. There's times like five people would show up. It's like a stump. Man, we used to be a tree, now we're a stump. Now we're stuck year after year after year. This is our year, Chuck. 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 Year after year after year. I mean, every time you go in, it's like going in, going up, but God never stopped. Sometimes there's just a little bit more of the old man in some people than there is others. But God delights in that. Because if you've overcome with God, you love him a lot. Because you've seen him with you. But you might have more to overcome than others. God doesn't look at that. Because God's already seen you from another place. When he called Jacob Israel, "I don't identify with this man Jacob anymore. I identify with this new man Israel. I'm going to make a nation out of you, boy. I'm going to call lands out of you. Lands, nations. I'm going to bring a kingdom out of you. Kings are going to come out of you. But I'm not bringing them out of Jacob. I don't want that. I got to bring it out of somebody else." So he redefines. He goes and he meets Esau. He thinks Esau's still going to try to kill him. He's still afraid. And Esau, he brings all this stuff out, like this offering, you know. And Esau, he goes, "What are you doing with all these gifts?" He was trying to buy him off, really. He was trying to pay him off. He goes, "What's all this gifts?" He goes, Esau said, "There's no need for this. I love you, brother." That's pretty awesome. Esau got swindled out of everything. And he stood in love. And so the two of them got along. So God, you know, Jacob still, he's trying to find a place. So he goes and settles in Shechem, in a place called Shalom out of Shechem. Very important. He settles there. I want you to go there because it's very important to understand this part. Then we're going to get to the glory. Say the glory. Woo! So he settles. Go to Genesis 33. It's a fascinating journey. Because I feel so much I can relate to Jacob. I'm going to relate to Israel. It's okay if you've been a Jacob. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's been okay." But you're not going to stay Jacob and walk with God. So, verse 18 says, after Esau, Genesis 33, it's very important. And Jacob came to Shalom. Now, Shalom, or Shalom, it means peace, wholeness. Jacob is coming into wholeness now, or Israel. His name is Israel now. He's coming in a place of wholeness. He's settling into completeness. His soul is starting to settle. How many of you have been processed with God and you start settling into the new place? Amen? God's allowing him to settle in. And he buys a parcel of land. In verse 20, he erected there an altar, Genesis 33, and he called it Elohim Israel. Say Elohim. And I like Israel. Say Israel. And I like the NET version of this. It says, this place is the God of Israel is God. That's what he named. Say the God of Israel's God. Don't lose what was just said. He's not relating to himself anymore in the former. He now understands he's Israel. He's renaming his land after the name God gave him. He's re-identifying his life in a new way. He went through a massive transformation. If you don't move into the new and start identifying, what does this mean to us? You start identifying with who you are in Christ, not who you were. He accepted. He's agreeing, identifying, seeing, saying, and naming it. See what I'm saying? He's naming it. He's naming who he is because he's no longer identifying with the old. That is huge. Because if you're stuck in Jacob land, you're never going to get God to come over there and bless you the way you want to be blessed. God will love you and comfort you, but you're not going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living under Jacob land. He had to come over. He wasn't going to call a land of Jacobites. And the God of the Jacobites. No. The Israelites. How do you think Israel got their name? He changed Jacob. He had 12 sons. They were the patriarchs. The 12 tribes, they all came out of this one man's life journey. Because when God looks at you, he sees beyond you. He's going to do something that may affect generations to come when he brings it out of you. Because your life can die on Jacob's vine, or you can become Israel, and God can do something for a thousand years to come. The nation's still named after him. The people are still named after him. The land's still named after him. And the devil will never get that land. Because God brought him back to the open heaven. Now he's identifying. He's going to give you a season to identify with who you are. What's next? Let's go back. Now we're going to go back to the open heaven. Now it's time to go back to Bethel, Jacob. But not Jacob anymore. Let's go back as Israel. You're ready now. You've been processed with Laban for 21 years. Ugh, been through that. You've passed through the Elohim right hand of, the face of God transformation. Where you're broken and God's given you the new identity. He broke the old man. Catherine Kuhlman, great woman of God, carried the glory like probably nobody. I don't think anybody has still touched what she carried. But she used to get up there. She was so dramatic. She'd wear these silky dresses and she's so dramatic the way she'd come out on stage. She'd like slide out there on the stage. 1,000 deaths I died for you. But when she'd walk through the hotel, the back hotel, she had walked through where they were, the kitchen, they'd all fall out under the glory of God. The whole kitchen would fall out. Nobody, when the glory was on her, could stand in the presence. She'd choose her front row. If she didn't like your spirit, you couldn't sit there. I like everyone's spirit on the front row. Huh? Sharon, we'll have to think, man, but you. But she died. 1,000 deaths. But there's always this one you'll remember where God breaks you. But he's not breaking you. He's just shattering something that doesn't belong to your eternal reward. He's going to bring you back to the open heaven. He's going to reassign everything. That right there, the house of God. Is that Sharon? Are you listening to somebody else? The Bible app. Okay. Well, praise God. So he's going to return him to the house of God. Now, what is Bethel again? What's the house of God? It's a vertical house that stretched from heaven to earth where the angels are free to ascend and descend, where a ladder's been set up. It's a gate of heaven, the Bible says. It's a place where God decrees multiplication. Whatever is spoken inside and reassigned to the plumb line will happen for generations to come. That is the open heaven that was established. It was still there. God tells him, let's go back to Bethel. Now I'm going to tell you who you are. Now I will call you by name. Now you're ready. Let's go back to Bethel. He takes him back in Genesis 35. Woo-hoo! Shaka-booyah! This is where we are, my friends. We're coming back. He calls the place, verse 7, and he builds an altar and he calls the place El Bethel, the God of the house of God. I know you now. God has brought him back and he's ready to answer everything. That plumb line is a place where God answers all the prayer. The plumb line is Christ, where God reassigns everything. Everything that's old gets reassigned to the new. Christianity is not about you getting born again and struggling all your life. Christianity is about being reassigned to the perfection of Christ. When God set a leader, when Christ did the work, he finished everything imaginable. Even your finances were finished. Know you the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty have been made rich. Everything has been done. When God reassigns you to Christ, he's reassigning you to a victory that's already been done. Woo! That's what God's going to do in our generation. There's about to be some reassignments, baby. Woo! Jacob is dead. Israel's alive. The old man has been crucified. That's what Paul came to. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live is by the faith of the Son of God. Somebody else was living up in him. Paul went through it. He became from Saul to Paul. When God changes a name, he's shifting the identity. Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Saul to Paul, Simon to Peter. God is about changing identity because the new man, he's different in every way. It's Christ in you now. Whew. Verse 9. And God appeared, Genesis 35, unto Jacob again. Woohoo! He's got him back in the plumb line. He's got him back in the open heaven. By the way, Jesus had this same open heaven over him. He told Nathanael, you'll see the angels ascend and descend. This same thing was over Jesus. This is an open heaven house of God, vertical open heaven house of God. Ooh, what's done in that, this vertical house of God thing? Whew. It can shift the direction of the world. In verse 10, God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. But that word is not in the original text. He's saying, thy name, Jacob, it's no more thy name. He didn't say thy name is Jacob. Because if he did that, he's reestablishing you, Jacob. He said, thy name, Jacob, that's no more. You see that? Now I'm going to read this part out of the literal translation. What it literally says. Because it's a little different. Because King James says things like, I'm going to do this. But the literal says, I already did this. What God spoke to him that day as Israel launched the nation. What God did to him that day launched a multiplication that grew so large in Egypt. Moses came out, the Israelites, they called them the Israelites. This is where they got the name. How'd you like a nation called after you? See, it's not going to be called after you. It's going to be called after Christ in you. When God takes you to the nations, it's Christ in you taken. God's got a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got a plan. Ooh, now the plan's coming to fulfillment. I was sitting there today in worship and God said, I prepared Jacob all his life for this one moment right here. This moment I'm about to talk about. I prepared you all your life for a plumb line moment with Christ. All your life, Samson, all his life was prepared. Even the man that fell, you know the story of Samson. Laid his head in Delilah's lap one too many times. She stole his anointing. They gouged his eyes out. They made him a slave. And at the end, the Philistines were all the Philistine lords were there. They were all drinking and partying and Samson was the prize. They all brought him out and stood him before the pillars as their prize. And God, Samson said, one more time, God. And he's named in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Do you look at Samson from his weaknesses or what he did? And he put his hands on the pillars. God anointed that man. He carried a whole gate up the mountain. He was so strong. And God put that anointing on him and he crushed the pillars. He broke them in half. They were chained to and he pushed them in half and the whole ceiling fell down and the whole nation was gone. He died in the process, but all his life for that one moment. Sometime you're prepared for a moment in time. But God had him there. Do you think of David because he fell or who he became that God would name a throne after him for eternity? David, you should watch that movie, by the way, the new one, House of David. It's phenomenal. On Amazon, wow. It's just the first season, but they did an incredible job. So let's get back here. Let's close. This is my first close. Carson, what does that mean? Yeah, two more to come. And God appeared unto Jacob again in his coming. And God said, thy name, Jacob. What he's saying, thy name, Jacob. He didn't say their name is Jacob. He said, thy name, Jacob, that's no more your name. That's not who you are anymore. Thy name is no more called Jacob. But Israel, say Israel, that's your name now. You've identified with it. You made the transition. Now I brought you back here to release this. Now he's speaking his name. Genesis 28, he never referred to Jacob because he never intended on multiplying Jacob. But the same blessing that's spoken in 28, he re-speaks it. But now he calls him by name. Isn't that awesome? And God said, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and assembly of nations is from thee. That's what the literal. Not going to happen. It's happened. That's what God, he speaks it from that place. It's done. And kings from thy loins go out. When God speaks like that, it's like the way he spoke the world. Nothing changes. Nothing the enemy can do to change when God speaks like that. and the land which I have given to Abraham, to Isaac, to thee I give it. Unto thy seed, after thee I give the land. And that land was named after him. Even to this day. Isn't that amazing? For thousands and thousands of years to come, the inheritance is still rolling. And God, watch this, goeth out from him, the place where he had spoken. He came right up in that plumb line, open heaven, spoke the finished work. I mean, this is where it happened right here, my friends. This is the pivotal event that birthed the nation. Isn't that amazing? It's just incredible. And Jacob sets up a standing pillar. In 28, he anoints a rock. Now the pillar has stood up. That rock was Christ. He's standing pillar and he anoints it with oil. And he does oblation. He actually fulfills the word. He said, if you'll bring me back here, I'll tithe. There was no tithe like that tithe. This is life tithe. All the wealth he accumulated under Laban, he took the 10% of that and he poured it out as an offering on that rock. Sacrificed right there. Incredible. That defining moment is where we are right now. Christ is coming to stand down as an open heaven in the plumb line. And he's calling us all to reassign now. You'll see us do this on Tuesdays if you want to come. We're going to reassign our soul. We reassign our body. We reassign our mind. We reassign our financial state. We reassign our name. We reassign our generations. Our sons, our daughters, we reassign. This house is reassigning from little local church with taco stand to an apostolic international center housing the seven spirits of God. Reassignment is happening. The day of reassignment's at hand. Everyone say, the day of reassignment is at hand. God will multiply. It's no wonder we're coming into this week of resurrection. This could be a life-changing week for this nation, for this house, for you, for your future. I was just reading on the way here, Trump, he's got things going all this week to honor God. All this week long, they're going to be, he's bringing in all kinds of ministers. They're going to have live worship in the White House. Look at that. A year ago, Biden declared it Week of the Transgender. That's what they did. They were releasing, and now Trump has got all kinds of Jenison Franklin's coming in, and Billy Graham's son's coming in, Franklin Graham. All these people are coming in. They're going to be doing prayers. Look at this. Look at what's going on. A nation is about to undergo a mass transformation unto God. And God's going to raise it up to be a lighthouse to all nations. We're living in the most glorious times right now. Don't be sleeping, because this plumb line is about now ready to multiply. The bread's coming out of the oven. It's ready to be distributed. The five loaves and the two fish are ready to multiply. The conquest of the olive trees is at hand. The day where we don't stand up anymore and say, this is our year. We say, this has been the year of God. We have seen our God in the land of the living. God is faithful and heard our prayer, and he's come down to dwell with us in this day. Let's give God glory. Yes, I was just saying, the press secretary, she goes out, and she's powerful. She don't take no lip from any of them. She prays. They had a little video of her praying before she goes out. They all got anointing. They're not just setting them in office, they're anointed. His whole staff is born again, most of them. It's awesome. God has already started at the ranks. It's coming down, baby. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Come on, let's give him glory.
This word is true. This word will not fail. We pass through the fire. We pass through the waters. Time now to come out into a wealthy place. Time for God to multiply the new name. To multiply, 891, Chris. To multiply, to bring out his house into the earth. The seven spirits of God will be sent out into all of the earth. Let's give him glory.